What's up, everyone? It's Gavin or Tweak.
What up, what up? It's Charles or Chuck.
What's going on, everyone? You got Matt or Has coming at you. Tweak Talks, another week, another episode. I'm excited. Damn, Gavin, you got the lighting going on today. That looks nice. You got a new light back there? It's bright.
I have a light like right here above my PC that is just... I usually only use it for emergency situations because I hate how bright it is, but... It gets the job done.
It looks good. It looks good. What's going on, guys? Good to see both of you. No Marcus this week, unfortunately. Busy guy. You're going to be missing him this week, but we'll catch him next week, of course. And around the horn, Charles, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Been doing good. Been playing a lot of WoW and Yu-Gi-Oh! Genesis format. But other than that, just been hanging out. Had a gathering last weekend, too, which was fun. So with some friends. That was fun. What about you, Gavin?
I'm doing well. I've been pretty strict on my schedule. For me, like, everything is manageable for me. Every aspect, except sleep schedule, is, like, the only thing I'm never good with. But I've been good with it lately. Been streaming, playing a lot of Smash. Like, been playing the Black Ops 7 beta with B, which is fun. I just like having stuff to play with her. So sometimes it's really hard to play that multiplayer game with friends, like to find like the one. It is hard to find the game.
There's a lot of options.
We go through seasons of it, it feels like, and there's always someone, there's always a person or two just left out of
the
group of just like, I can't remember last, it might have been Unite was like the last time the most people played. You know what I mean? Like having a, we at one point, probably years ago at this point, had like a 5-player squad ready to go, like pretty consistently, but yeah.
I saw the call. I looked at the call during the beta, like last night or the day before, and there's so many people in the call, and I was like, I remembered that like this friend group started because of Modern Warfare 2019, and I was like, oh yeah, everyone in here likes Call of Duty. It's just been a while since like we've had enough fun on one to like play it together. So that's been cool, and there's other things like when Legends Arceus came out, our friend group was like at like one of its highest peaks. The Discord call was popping. Everyone was playing. So Legends EA is coming out soon.
Yeah.
And I predict that we will have some good days. I've been good. Working out a lot, streaming a lot, playing a lot of Smash, Call of Duty, some of the Yu-Gi-Oh! Genesis format with Charles here and there. I'm chilling. How are you, Has?
Good man, happy to be back in the foliage. Now we got to get our annual or our weekly foliage. You never do. It's weird. You should at this point. 3 weeks strong. I was actually in Florida visiting my dad with my brothers. We had a great time, but I did actually really miss the weather up here in New England. Like I love, obviously the hot Florida weather was great. We stayed outside, drank a bunch of beers, had a really good time, smoked some cigars, ate some nice steaks and everything. We had a great time, all of us guys. But I'm so happy to be back in the crisp autumn air. I really am. And I like during my time, I was gone for a couple of days. And it's like I took a break from WoW. And this actually might be breaking news for Charles, but I think I'm going to quit WoW for a bit. I think I've hit like this stride of like, I know, I'm sorry, Chuck. Sorry to find out this way.
You brought him back in and you left.
That's crazy. I understand. That's fine.
Yeah. Well, we haven't been playing together either. So I feel less bad about it because you've been raiding a team that or with a raid team that has a better raid time for you because obviously the time difference is just crazy.
We're just 6 hours apart, so it's hard to line up. It's almost impossible. It's almost a full work day apart, right?
Yeah. So I think I'm gonna be taking a break at least, like quitting for now. Even though Ascension's coming out, it looks super cool, which is like the PM version of WoW to like translate it from Smash to WoW. Like it's a version of it coming out that looks so fun. I think I'm just going to take a break because I've really been enjoying. I bought a Kindle on Prime Day. I got it for like $100 and I've been reading books and like going to the gym and like just feeling good. And I'm like, this all goes away. If I start playing WoW again, like that's a real time commitment. Plus there's just games on my backlog I've wanted to play for so long. And like, it's kind of other things I want to do. And WoW is such a, MMOs in general are just such a commitment. And I love it. Don't get me wrong. I think it's so fun. But I think now is just a good time to take a step back and do other stuff. I mean, I played Smash today. For the first time in like a month. New character. Y'all thought I was kidding. I was texting Gavin today. So many questions about Lucario. I was like, bro, do I dare add a shield? Or what do I do? You know, how does this work? I was, you know what? Those level 9 CPUs didn't see me coming. I'll say that. But I'm figuring that's always work. What, dude, I was like, how do I learn? Which has been really fun. Like, I think that's the thing with Smash and like the waves people go through with it. If you find the right reason to play, I feel like it's still the best. And I've done this before where I'm like, I really want to try to learn this character and it doesn't go, you know what I mean? I'm like, damn, I just want to learn, you know, how to play like whatever, you know, Toon Link or Marth or like whatever characters I was kind of interested in. But with Lucario, I was like, this is not going to stay. Like, there's just no way. This character does not have, I'm not interested in like anything this character brings.
Yeah.
I started playing him and I was like, wait a second. This kind of rules actually. Hold on. So I've been playing Lucario. A lot of it is like the new results that have been coming in for him too. Gashapi, right? That's the name of the Japanese Lucario's been doing well. There's one in Florida doing well too. I'm sorry. I'm VOD reviewing on the treadmill later. So truly, I'm back playing Smash. And it's all Lucario right now, but obviously, inevitably, I'm going to give up and start going Ken and Belmont again at some point. But I
that's how you got back in regardless, which is the beauty of it.
He's,
you
know, really, I mean, fun, yeah. And he's so different than what I play. And I was texting Gavin about it today. I was like, he is the Belmont and Ken or in Shotos are not Smash characters. You know what I mean? Like, K9 does not approve of those characters. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not playing Smash. And Lucario has that big cheater thing with like aura and stuff, but dude, I'd be B reversing and wave bouncing, like all this shit. Like,
everything by themselves is like traditional.
Yeah, exactly. Like the auto turnaround, obviously, but then Belmont is like, they're not, you know, like they're with Lucario, I'm like, damn, like he's floaty. And I actually have to learn at some point, I'm gonna have to learn tech. Like, I'm fine for now just learning how to play the character because I just had no idea. Just hitting the buttons and feeling good is where I'm at. So he's like a Riolu at this, maybe not even hatched yet, to be honest with you. Like, is how baby this Lucario is. But I am enjoying playing him and just figuring it out. And it just feels good to be playing Smash again and kind of removing that time sink from my life. That is WoW, even though I think WoW is fantastic and I love it, obviously.
That also probably has its phases, you know what I mean? So
absolutely, yeah. And I've been going for a while. I mean, I played all of Sod, Season of Discovery, without quitting. Into
Classic. But you played all of Classic.
Well, I quit because I didn't play it. Yeah.
You played like a couple Classic expansions, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just took a long break and then I came back for Season of Discovery, which was like a year or two of playing right into Mists of Pandaria with Charles, which was a lot of fun. But it's just, I want to play single player games and like, I want to play Smash again and then like all this shit. And like, you know, I just like reading and doing shit, working out. And WoW is like, even if you're just raid logging, like you still have to log it. Like that's committed time to playing, which is just tough for me to swing right now. So yeah, got a lot going on, which is exciting. And honestly, watching, since I was on vacation this weekend, I didn't watch Mash Harder Live, which is a regional that takes place in Boston. But I saw that Ty went, that Mars went, and that Zomba went, and I was like, oh, hell yeah. Brujo went, who I love watching Brujo play Smash. I think he's one of those players that you watch him play and you're like, this kid just, he has like, the it factor, the X factor, whatever you want to call it, of like understanding the game. I'm pretty sure he's ranked number one in Massachusetts right now with mostly K Rool. Like he plays I was thinking about it, it's like we forgive Brujo for playing Kazuya. Like that's okay. Like all the K Rool stuff. Yeah, I'm speaking for all of us. Yeah. Cause dude, the K Rool play is just, it's so good. And like what a time to talk about K Rool too, because we didn't even touch the crown glitch, I think, came out. Right, it was just formulating when we recorded last week.
I think so.
So I don't know how you guys feel about that. I saw like people fake reporting that it got patched. Like, are they going to patch it? Are they going to? I don't. You think so? You think they're going to get rid of it?
Oh no, no.
Oh, I was like, God, dang, I don't think so.
They come out of nowhere just to patch K Rool.
That'd be so funny though.
That would be like.
I wouldn't be surprised. Like, I just don't think it'll happen because it is like such a blatant glitch.
Yeah.
Compared to some of the other things that are like a bit as like you kind of have to, it's kind of weird. But K Rool literally having a duplicated crown is like pretty obvious to anyone. But I get asked about
what if he just has an extra one, all right?
Yeah. He's rich.
Yeah. You only got one crown.
I hope people get in the lab with Diddy Kong. That's all I gotta say.
Can I ask a stupid question?
Yeah,
thank you. What is to stop the opponent just from taking the crown? Because at first it was like, oh, you have to die to do this. It's like, well, that's not great. Like, that's probably not worth it. But then it's like, oh, you can spawn it without dying, but you need to like touch. Smash dudes broke it down, and I already forget how they did it. But it's like you have to be touching the blast zone when you throw the crown, and then it respawns on stage somehow. Like I don't know exactly how it works. Yeah. But you have to be very, 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 very far off stage.
Now it can be above and to the side now, which is interesting.
But you're going off stage as K. Rool intentionally, right, and throwing your crown. So
yeah, it's extremely vulnerable. The thing is,
yeah,
there it spawns in different ways. So I think it's slowly being figured out, like the best way to spawn it, so you can pick it up as to the best of your ability. But yeah, there will be plenty of situations where he either dies for setting it up, dies before he can set it up, or it gets taken from him.
That's what I was thinking.
My goal is definitely to, like, if he's vulnerable to just dying simply, obviously you'll take that. But my goal is to definitely take it from him. Because that sounds awesome. But I get asked this on stream most of the time when I stream, since it's been getting popularized on the internet. And the point I want to get across is just, Aaron said the same thing to me privately. It was like, it is just so cool and crazy that we're finding something this like blatantly new.
Mm-hmm.
Like all these years into the game, like Haz was the first person to send this to me. And I just was like, it's insane how quick I was to see it and be like, this isn't real.
Just I know. It's
like, you know, like you feel like you know everything. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
that's what I'm thinking too, is like, you think of this game and it, and so much credit to the Smash Ultimate team, because there aren't many things like this, but there are like 100 fucking
and
characters.
That scenario right there, sorry to cut you off.
No, you're good.
You're watching. That was a perfect scenario. Rob technically could have taken it before K. Rool could.
Yeah, that's my thing. Yeah,
it's a concern.
But the fact, and this is such like a great slice of Smash culture of like, oh, we found this really, some fucking person out there was playing K. Rool and somehow accidentally spawned a second crown. Yeah. And they're like, not only can we reproduce this, like, can this happen again? And then once they did, they were like, it's like a frame perfect, you have to die crown thing is what they thought, right? But now it's gotten to the point where it's like, can we optimize the shit out of this? And it's just like, I love that about Smash culture so much. And it's for a character who no one really thinks about unless Brujo or some of the other top K. Rools are playing. But like, this is not Aegis or Steve or Sonic or any of the really popular characters getting Roy, whatever. It's K. Rool, which is amazing. And I just love this part of Smash culture. I think it's fantastic that, you know, you give Smashers an inch, they'll take it a mile, 100%. Like for K. Rool to get an extra crown, you know, like I just love that. And it's just cool to see everyone's invested in this shit too. Let's be real. This isn't really going to impact a lot, you know, like how many tournament sets next year are going to be influenced or impacted by this?
It'd
be impressive.
Single digits?
Yes.
Yeah. After watching Brujo play, I don't know. I'm like a different believer.
Right. It just depends, right? Is someone so much better than their opponent that they're going to set this up and just win with it? Or is it going to be impactful to the point where it's like, oh, I'm about to like lose this stock at high percent. They're going to edgeguard me anyway. Throw this crown thing. Yeah. Boom. Come back into my next stock with the crown. Like that is the most applicable scenario I could
see. It reminds me of Donkey Kong stuff where you lose your own stock to put them in Ding Dong range.
Yeah, very reminiscent of Smash 4 of Bowser or DK just running off the stage so they have no rage and then just grabbing their opponent. Like kind of like that.
Yeah.
Get a crown. It's not like a direct
it can advantage. Definitely backfire on you very
totally.
Quickly. Very, very quickly.
Yeah.
So, everyone's like, not everyone, but I've had a few chatters in stream. They're surprised I haven't learned it myself, and it's just I'm kind of just watching it develop still, and it's like I'm just curious as a fan of Smash, and like we've been saying, like it's been like 6-7 years, and it's just like wow, something this new.
Dude, you know what it got me thinking of is like, this is like how hype everyone is for one thing with one niche character for one of his moves. And granted, it's really cool because now we get combo video, like little short combo clips of like the double crown into crown into back air, like double crown into back air. I'm like,
his damage output has gone up exponentially.
Yes, exactly. And but that's the thing is like when remember when Ultimate first came out, we got something like this every 5 minutes where it's like, dude, look at this that we could do. It's
I mean, that's why we we like yearn for it again. Like we we want that from a new game because like the first year is just insanity.
Yeah.
When you have 80 plus characters in Ultimate, like of course it was gonna play out like that, you know?
He fared the crown. Good God. Well,
plus, I feel like we've seen that age of development and the age of discovery so many times because we've been a part of or have been following the Smash scene for so long, even like back in Melee, Brawl. It's just the and it gets increasingly better as well because there's so like we're so much more connected with the internet now, right? And so
more
much
characters
more people play,
more
characters, the player base is larger, the tournaments are bigger every game. So I feel like we've seen it at all different stages to the point where even in some of the earlier games, there were very simple combos that were just like, I throw my opponent and then I hit them after and then not everyone knew it. And people would hide that information to win tournaments and stuff. That's how little the game was lab, because if you think about that happening in Ultimate, there's no way that's happening in Ultimate. Like everyone's going to know every single throw combo at every single percent with all the rage. Like it's just cool to see because I remember in Ultimate, I wasn't so much that kind of person that labbed that much, but
wait,
in Smash 4,
it comes
I was.
Back even if you throw it off stage. Well, I didn't know that.
Oh, that's insane.
So if you get rid of the duplicated crown also comes back.
It's just a perma 2 crown, I guess.
That does change things a bit, like how worth it is to go for. Because if you're trying to think of the thought, like the thought process of like, when I get it, I'm going to control the game. And even when I throw it off stage, it's going to come back and I'm going to keep winning with it. Like, that's pretty strong.
Yeah, I mean, it essentially spawns an
I don't know. I don't know.
I thought you just lost it.
I thought so too, but. I don't know.
Because I just saw Mars throw it down just blatantly and it just came back.
I don't know if it's a training mode thing or not.
Because that puts it more on the line of like, you only have to do it once. You know what I mean? It's closer to that kind of than like, oh, if you want to do this, you have to set it up every time type of thing. But
anyway.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm hyped, dude. It even makes you think like, there's other shit like this laying around somewhere, you know, and the weirder and it's funny because it's like the weirder your character is and the more weird shit they have, the higher percent chance they have of something like this happening. Because I don't think anyone thought like obviously no one thought there's going to be more. There's probably more glitches laying out there somewhere. Did anyone think it was K. Rool Crown? No. But now that that has kind of cracked, maybe there's more item like spawn shit, like, you know, all this weird stuff.
It might be a general application because it's an item.
Right. Or like text.
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Think about your weird characters that have stuff that doesn't, that becomes items or something like that. Like, I don't know. Like, could this be, his is kind of unique though. Cause once he throws, I'm trying to think if there's any other characters kind of like this, like Rob maybe, but he gets his back anyway. But yeah, Rob's top is pretty similar to K. Rool's crown in a lot of ways.
Right. I just don't know if you need the property of, oh, this item needs to return. If you need that property, because K. Rool's item is unique. I don't think there's any other item in the game like that where it's like, oh, if this is thrown off stage, it like spawns back in like a
some
Luma.
Some sort of Luma glitch, bro, where it like multiple
Lumas
come back.
Yo, double saying, Luma? Oh,
the buzz
no.
is so back. My goat. Yo. You're just having people out in 2XKO. You see that tweet that I had? It kind of popped.
It'd be just like StarCraft. You're managing like all the Lumas, like old school Brawl.
Now he's actually playing StarCraft, yes.
Every 30 seconds, that, you just like, get a new Luma. Just boom, boom, send them out.
So if Luma dies at this timing and you do this, when it comes back, you get two. Good luck against the buzz, everyone.
Yeah. Oh God. Multi Luma bonus. Damn, bro. Cool. So I'm hyped, dude. Like I know we're stuck, quote unquote, stuck in Ultimate for a little bit longer, but I hope people are still enjoying it. Cause again, I'm having a blast playing again. Yeah. We got to play tonight. Cause you got to help me fix some shit. Like there's just things I don't know. Like Lucario, I know, you know that all about Lucario. Yeah.
The Lucario coaching is incoming.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, the training.
Don't worry,
I have to start learning how to be reverse and wave bouncing.
I love doing it, dude. It's so fun.
It's a very fun tech. Yeah,
Lucario
does it a lot.
the other two idiots I play, they're so stiff in the air. You know what I mean? Like, focus is kind of...
I would never select those characters.
Like, the focus is kind of neat. That's what B-reversing... When I first did it, I'm like, oh, it's like focusing in the air. And I was like, wow, I might be the only idiot who's ever thought of it that way. That's insane. But then I started doing it, and, like, I'm playing against CPUs, so, like, it doesn't matter. But I'm like, dude, the juke... Like, you jump, charge, B-reverse, and then you do it again and turn and grab. I'm like, damn, that's kind of... Like, it's giving me very... And again, and maybe because he's a Brawl character, but it's giving me very like Brawl type vibes of like, and learning how to, I don't know, like it's, I don't have an up B and a shield. So like, I'm learning how, like now I actually really need to learn how to actually be good at footstool. I know. I'm not looking forward to our sessions with the, I assume Fox shits on this character is all I was thinking while I was playing.
Fox as well.
Does he? Really?
I would think Fox wins pretty hard.
That's what I was saying. Fox shits on him.
No, I agree with you.
Yes.
Just because you're killing him. Like, he's going to die. Like, scary. I don't like that. I don't like
Apparently a lot. Very good against Lucario,
A lot of characters I wasn't afraid of before, I'm all suddenly very afraid of, like, out of nowhere. Which is very... And again, it's just against CPUs. But it's just, like, the thinking about it is fun. Like CPU got Ganon, and I was like, oh, wait a second. Yikes. I don't know. His up B sucks. Like, I'm learning how to recover.
Your first time being afraid of Ganondorf.
I know, what the fuck? Well, I probably shouldn't be either. I'm just bad with him, too.
Yeah,
you know,
like, he turns into Ganondorf.
It's like a vague thought.
You do turn... Bro, okay, Lucario players, his F-tilt is crap. I love his F-tilt, bro. You down-angle that shit at the ledge. Ooh, it's so good. Bro, I love that shit. I don't love his up-tilt. I thought I would. Down-air is cool. Back air is like a fucking cannon. That shit is insane. It's so insane how good his back air is. It's crazy because I know like the basics of Lucario, but actually trying to play him is like, oh, hold on a second. Like, this is, it's very different. It's very fun. And it sucks because I'm like, this isn't going to help me in casting, because how many times have I in my life cast a Lucario player in Ultimate? I think it's literally zero. Like, what's that?
I'd just spam Fair. That shit is so fun.
Fair is cool. Dude, Nair.
Rising Fair.
Yeah, Fair is cool. Up air is cool. Like, his aerials are cool. I'm just enjoying him. Like, he's very different than what I play. His wall cling stuff. I don't know. You got to teach me how to recover, because sometimes I go, he's fucking curves like out of nowhere. I'm like, why do you do that?
Yeah, I mean, even Lucario players mess it up once in a while. It's just difficult. And I mean, your recovery is always changing. Like, it's crazy.
Right.
Like, it's definitely a variable that most people don't have to deal with. Like, you have a different recovery every time you go off stage. Like,
I just don't get why he fucking, like, he's going straight and then he makes a lowercase J out of nowhere. You know what I mean? Like, why did you do that? Like, I don't understand, but whatever, I'll figure it out. I'm sure, chat, if you have any, like, Lucario resources, I have a bunch of VODs downloaded. I'm very excited.
Characters like that, though, when they have, like, a wall cling, a wall jump, a crawl, like, good air mobility.
It's fun,
Gear reverses. Like,
insane wall jump. You have an insane wall jump.
Yeah, dude, it's just his up B, the activate. I hold my breath every time.
Have you tried doing up B into the wall to wall cling?
Yeah, I've done that. Yeah, it's fun.
A lot of fun. Yeah,
he's so cool. Like, there's so many things to appreciate. And I thought for sure I would try this and be like, that sucked. I give up after like 20 minutes. But the more I played, the more I was like, this is really fun. Like, I really enjoy this. So I'm gonna stick with it for now and see how it goes. And it's funny because playing him kind of spawned out of a conversation about the worst design characters in Smash. And I'm having a lot of fun with him. But then I was like, damn, I kind of like characters that aren't designed well for Smash. So this kind of fits my wheelhouse here. Everyone hates Ken and Belmont. You know what I mean? These are not well-designed characters. So I should have thought of this earlier. So any resources, chat, let me know. I'm trying to just have fun with the character. But anyway, speaking of having fun, I did have a blast watching Mash Harder. Top three at that tournament, Charles, was Zomba 1. Brujo got second. And then Mars got third, or probably the big results everyone really cares about. I know DM also had a big upset, which is great. Shout out to DM. But most of the sets I watched were the Brujo sets. And a lot of it is, for those of you who don't know, Brujo, like, number one in mass right now, I believe. And plays, like, mostly K-Rule. You know, it really is one of those things where it's K-Rule and then Kazuya for the bad matchups. Which he gets, you know, he gets the pass for Kazuya. Like, he gets it, you know, it's all good.
And you're trying to win tournament games with K-Rule. Salute.
He's taking games off of Zomba. Hasn't he sets off of Zomba before?
Sets, yes. Yeah,
it's very impressive.
Isn't that insane, Charles? Like, he's really good.
Very impressive.
I took some notes on, like, to win with. Yeah, I took some notes on, like, what he does. And it's funny because, like, when he's last stock, like, oh yeah, this is him against Unleashed, which I did watch this set too. Dude, he does ledge slip dare in the set, Gavin, by the way. I know you like that. Okay. I know you're a fan. He goes off stage a lot.
Neutral Air comes to mind the most, obviously. So,
but Dare has the belly
crown
armor
slide.
Too.
Well, you crown can just towards
the crown slide is nice, dude. You know what else he does so
crown
well?
Crown just has mad glitches.
I know. Crown's a weird move for sure. Yeah, boom. The thing that he does too that instantly I saw is he'll do. It might be coming up here actually, if I remember correctly. But he'll do like landing nair on shield and then turn around up tilt. Wow. Dude, I'm good at what I do. But the way he uses, like, he implements that quick turnaround and up tilt is so good, because up tilt with K rule is not a move you think of, I think, very often when you think of things to deal with him. But it covers so, it makes so much sense, because if you're crossing someone up in their shield, turning around and throwing out that big hitbox that covers the air too is so smart. And it's pretty quick too, like the way he gets it out. So I love seeing that. Offstage is really, he's really good offstage and really scary for anybody. But dude, his offense is crazy with the characters. He does the high crown. It reminds me of Belmont Cross stuff, where you throw the high projectiles.
Because he's mostly relying on the return, right? Like sometimes.
Exactly. And then you combo into up air off of it or whatever. But yeah, he's just covering a lot of options. His recoveries are great. Yeah, that should have been an up air or whatever. He should have.
Yeah, that's what he's looking for.
But yeah, exactly. But he's playing against Unleashed 2, who's a really good Sora player. Very patient. Look at the double parry, bro. This kid's, he's the real deal, man. He is. I hope he gets a good bracket for himself. I think he went to Let's Make Big Moves last year and had a pretty good run. But he's definitely insane. And I couldn't think of, like, if you're like a state PR or just like a good player in general, like running up against one of the scariest K rules, like that's got to be a different experience. I wonder if he's playing with the crown glitch at all. I'd like to hear his thoughts on it, but.
True.
Yeah, I love watching him play. Yeah, look at that, dude. Yeah,
that was swift.
That's what I'm saying, bro.
That wasn't let slip, but
it was fast.
But it was very fat. And back on the up tilt thing, I'm a big fan of talking about the up tilt. That move is frame 6, I believe.
Very good move.
And it has some power. And it is the perfect move to apply to your already quick move in neutral air or something. It's just coverage. It's risky because you're applying another button on top of your button. So like it technically kind of makes your neutral air, like if you're buffering up tilt, it's just more unsafety, but it is very quick. And if it catches the startup of something or catches a jump or whatever, it's active and it's strong. It'll literally get stocks consistently. So very interesting move. It's like, it's basically like a more commitment type of jab, but it's just a better move. His jab is solid, but like a lot of places where other characters might jab, like he's probably up tilting, like just for the benefit of it.
Oof. That was the other thing too, is like I love all the K roll content we have, by the way. Who would have thunk, you know, if you had told me 3 years ago we'd have like at least half an episode dedicated to talking about K roll and new tech and results, you know, in October of 2025.
And they're insane. Not necessarily correlated either, which is
no
crazy. Like the result isn't because of the new tech or like it's not that blatant, like yeah. Right. So
I think the other thing I wanted to talk about, obviously Mars and Zomba too. So Mars got third and he lost to Zomba. He stole game one from him, actually. I think it was a 3-stock-to-1 comeback, and then Zomba did his Zomba thing and just like he locked it up. And something I was texting to Gavin while I was watching the sets was, bro, he is so good at hitting fully charged laser, like just making people like run into shit that like what nair, back air, like lingering hitboxes, like all this stuff. Like why? I feel like you said it's a superpower, which I thought was funny.
Yeah, it's confusing. I Haz didn't even have to describe it. I was like, yeah, it's just what he does. Like somehow every laser hits. He could be playing against the best player ever, playing the best they've ever played. Those stray projectiles always going to hit.
And like, this was against
Zomba's superpower, bro.
It was the thing that confused me because it was against Mars on zero suit. So who's someone who is incredibly fast and quick with making decisions and on a very nimble character. Yeah, exactly. So I was like, why the hell? He got hit by a lot of them. Like, I wish I kept track, but it definitely stood out to me. And I was like, damn, like, it's just like the Zomba factor. There's that up-tilt again. Sorry, we're watching. Sorry, audio listeners. We're watching more Brujo against Zomba. Ooh!
I also read that tech in. Sorry, yeah. Zomba.
he just, I don't know what he does. And like, it's such a credit to him. Because
free fall. I should put him in free fall.
Okay, that is okay.
How that's different would the game be, dude?
Bro, that's the other thing that I kept track of while I was watching those VODs. I was like, how many times did it make a difference where Zomba went for side B off stage where he would have had to give up a stock? That was literally the one time that I saw in the three or four Zomba sets that I watched. So literally one time, undeserved, you know, he doesn't deserve it is what I'll say. But yeah, it was good. It was obviously good to watch Mars compete again. He did get third. And it's really interesting because he lost to Brujo in Losers Finals after losing to Zomba. And so he lost to Brujo. Game one was really close. K-Rool against Zero Suit. And then Brujo switched and went Kazuya, which is what he does. And I think he 3-0'd from there. And Mars was like, I know he's still kind of de-rusting and stuff too. So obviously, you know, he gets a pass on some of the stuff. But I've always thought it was so interesting, and maybe you guys can help break this down a little bit more too, that Mars as a player, to me, like just his strengths and his character, Zero Suit, Kazuya is like someone that really gives him a hard time. And at this point, I think it's a part of it is mental, like it's in his head, obviously. He just has such a hard time against Kazuya, whereas, you know, Kazuya is a different beast than Terry and Ken and Ryu, where he does well against those characters. And obviously Kazuya has things like the crouch walking, you know, all that stuff. Electric obviously is insane. But why do you guys think, like, what's the breakdown of Mars versus Kazuya? And like, what are some things he should think about? Cause like, I've seen him have a really hard time against this character since he came out basically. So what do you guys think about that?
Well, I think it's fair to be confused. Cause I think we all probably are to an extent where we would expect Mars character slash his archetype of player to like just run circles around someone like Kazuya. Just numerically it makes sense, and we look at like, I don't know, something that might a good comparison might even be Game and Watch, weirdly enough, like slow but like dangerous, or like Luigi, or like we don't like Mia specifically outwardly doesn't want to play against Mars. Like that's how it's not like, you know, it's like that crazy. So with Kazuya, I would also expect Mars to be giving the Kazuya trouble 9 times out of 10. You know what I mean? But I don't know. The only thing I could come up with when talking with Haz was maybe Zero Suit has a bit of a weird time dealing with Crouch Dash. Maybe the Zare isn't good enough of a tool to always, like maybe Kazuya just gets opportunities more often than you'd expect. I'd have to watch the games, but if anything, like I would also have more questions than answers too. There is always the thing about Zero Suit's defense, right? Where her defense is amazing, but she's not, if you think of Sonic, right? Sonic's getting defense while getting full combos while being on the back foot. Like it's like spin, spin, spin. Like I'm using this for defense. Like, oh, it hits like full combo. Like this is what I would be doing if I was playing aggressive anyway. Zero Suit doesn't always have that. Like, she's not always like, camp, 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 40 damage. It's like, when she commits to the defense, like, that's it.
I was going to say, like, if you think of just the raw numbers of how many times does Zero Suit have to Zare Kazuya before it makes a difference versus he guesses right once and gets underneath that Zare and electrics you, and now you're probably dead. Like, or at least taking 80 or some shit. So, yeah, I think it's interesting for sure. It's just always been something that I've always been interested in. So, and now we're seeing it again. So I don't think we talked about it the first time when Mars was playing against Kazuya.
Maybe very briefly, yeah.
Yeah, but this is like, at this point, like Kazuya, like it might be his worst matchup, to be honest with you, as a player, which is really surprising to me. That's all I'm saying, so.
Well, whenever I think of Tyler or just Zero Suit in general versus some of these characters, right? I mean, against the other fighting game characters, we got to view comparing Kazuya with the other fighting game characters. What does Kazuya have that the other fighting game characters don't? It's an intangible way to move forward with an anti-air that you generally either just get a ton of damage off of or you outright get the stock, right? I think Zero Suit doesn't have that many chances because if you're just walling a character out that doesn't have intangibility on moving forward and getting, it's like I'm moving forward and I'm,
which is great.
And I'm anti-airing with like a high reward option and it disengages if you're close. So even like you can't really up B out of shield this, it just pushes you away. That's for me, one of the things that I hate the most about electric is even shield, you're not really winning. And Kazuya can just like gains stage control off of it, pushes you back, either pushes you so Kazuya has space out of the corner or Kazuya just getting more stage control. So to me, it just feels like Mars doesn't really get too many opportunities. And when Mars does, you guys brought, like, the first thing that came to mind is Zero Suit feels like such an outdated, like, timeout character, even if we're viewing in the lens of optimal Smash Brothers where everyone just runs away and times each other's out. It's like Zero Suit can do that, but like Gavin,
he's never actually doing it. Like,
well, you don't get damage for it. You do a drift away Nair, you're not gonna combo off of that for the most part, right? Like no one's getting cheesed by Nair flip kick. If I flame anyone that gets Nair flip kicked in 2025, like, you're getting flamed by me. That's so bad. Like, you should never ever lose stocks like that against Zero
Suit. I would expect these scenarios more often. That juggle scenario that Mars got, because like, what is Kazuya gonna do? But I like what you said, and it's like a lot of the other characters getting zoned out, they have to thread the needle by shielding, and like Kazuya might get in without committing to his own shield and staying grounded, which is interesting. It honestly might be this weird window of like Kazuya comes out, he's already not playing as much.
27 off that opening. Let's count the the damage that Mars is getting. We can just count it right here on the screen in terms of winning neutral interactions. It's like, okay, cool, this is all true.
It might not even be that.
That's like the best case scenario. Yeah, is like four or five up.
Yeah, I think.
And then how do you get the kill?
Yeah, I was thinking
that was just clear matchup, like not knowing. Like, he went for that neutral B, not knowing the frame disadvantage.
This is the other thing too, is that was the last game for the video guys, people watching the video feed. That was the last game, and that last stock, he was ringing, I think he was getting three stocked at that point, and he brought it all the way back.
He
really locked in, and I think he can do it. And I hope he keeps competing. I don't really know. I know he's been going to things more. Like, he went to a local too, which obviously I love to see. You know, one of my all-time favorite Smash players, you know, a friend of the show, obviously. I love watching him play. I really want to see him crack this Kazuya matchup, because obviously I know he can do it, but I'm just, again, you're right though, Gav. It might be just a timing thing. Yeah.
It might just be a weird window where like he was already like on the way out. And then when he comes back, he hasn't dealt with Kazuya. Kazuya's getting better while he knows like less than he did on day one.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it could always be that. Cause like, it's clearly not one of those things where it's like, oh, Zero Suit can't do it. There's no fucking way.
That's what I'm saying. Zero Suit
can do it. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't think it's – I just think in terms of how clean you have to play, you do have to play very clean. And I think the biggest thing against Kazuya is either you as a player or you as your character or a combination of both, like, how good are you at punishing Kazuya whiffing electric? Because it's not like Kazuya is covering a large amount of distance. He is moving forward, being intangible, but hovering outside of that and then whiff punishing electric, if you're very good at that, then if you have to make the Kazuya think twice about throwing a mid-range electric in neutral just because, and it looks like electric into like, oh, I'm just going to buffer spot dodge electric again or something like that. Like, if you can stop that kind of gameplay and it's just like, I'm going to fling these sequence of moves out, and then if I connect, I get the zero to death, then you can do very well versus Kazuya. Then, like, the next layers. And, I mean, also, it's a big thing, too, in terms of advantage state. I don't know how strong Zero Suit is off stage against Kazuya. I think it's definitely harder than edgeguarding a Ryu or a Ken. I think that's way easier to do than a Kazuya.
I was thinking that, too.
Because you can up B, then double jump. Dude, like, directional air dodge helps Kazuya out a lot, too. Not to say Kazuya's recovery is very good, and it's not edgeguardable from the side of Zero Suit, but...
It's definitely fine, though.
It's a big part. A big part in a player beating any Kazuya player, to me, step one is, can you whiff punish electric? Step two, can you edgeguard Kazuya? If you can't do those two things, you're going to get three stock tree. It's just the way it is.
My Lucario's got some work to do.
it's not an easy thing to do.
That sounds like a bad matchup for Lucario,
that's
by
weird
the way.
To me, about Terry Kazuya versus Ken Ryu, is Ken Ryu, if they're recovering above ledge height, they're gonna fucking die for it a lot of the time. Unless it's like they have double jump and focus and like they're really close, then it's like I'm not even counting it as like recovering anymore. They're like right there. But like when it comes to like recovering high, they're significantly weaker at it. And it's weird because the other two have the option. I find myself, they don't have the focus either, like I find myself sniping their double jumps more and killing them, like because they can go high. Like I kill Terry and Kazuya earlier than Ken and Ryu more often as Diddy Kong specifically. And I don't know what it like. Well, I think I do know what it is. I'm explaining what it is. But dude, when they go high and if they double, like if Terry tries to like do one of the forward moving specials or like a power dunk to get close, like I'm gonna back air you. And if you're getting farther out there, now you're getting Z drop dared because your recovery has no like mix up or anything. Like you might have got Z drop dared anyway, which is probably why they're going high. But when Ken and Ryu like. They just go low consistently or they're recovering at ledge level. And like, and the uppy having the good hitbox, like, I don't know. Like sometimes I have an easier time killing Terry and Kazuya just cause like they have the temptation of skipping ledge. Like it's they interesting.
Have the option.
Like them having more options, like sometimes leads to them like dying earlier. It's weird.
Kazuya does have crazy weight too. If Zerosuit's not edgeguarding Kazuya, like you're probably, this is one thing I hate about Fox Kazuya is usually Fox has to deal with Rage Drive. So I don't know if Zerosuit's in that same boat where it's like you, it's hard to get the sock against Kazuya sub 100, you know, and it just,
Zerosuit deal with Rage Drive. Reminds me of Wolf too, where it's like threading the needle between offense and defense right now is so hard. Like, you're not going to find that balance in Ultimate right now. Like, you're going to fucking die to Steve at zero. Like that's why I was in one of the previous episodes, I was like, bro, if you have to choose between, like, playing Ultimate or playing Brawl, like, you're probably going to have to pick to play Brawl. Like, Mars got hit by a parry on the neutral air into electric, into, like, tech chase side B on the hollow plat into, like, whatever. And it's like, bro, like, that's one of those spots where, like, I think you have to realize with your character, like, nothing is better than pressing the neutral air. Like, doing nothing is better. like with Wolf, it's like, I would rather retreat than go for that, going in with that forward air. Because, like, the risk-reward isn't good enough anymore.
Yeah, it's a different time, for sure.
It's a different time.
Very like, different game.
You're, like, there's no threading the needle in Ultimate anymore. You're not, like, whiff punishing and, like, going in and out. Like, that's not a fucking thing anymore.
Uh-oh.
I think
that... I picked an interesting time to start learning Lucario.
I think that's why... I'm not gonna, like, it's a bit extreme what I'm saying, but there is a lot of, like, you'll see it. It's a different game. But that's why we talked about Rafflo's performance so much, though.
Yep.
Because... when it happens now, it's not like it's not the norm anymore. In year one, if Rufflo had that performance, we probably wouldn't have cared as much. But because of like it stands out more right now.
Well, totally. Because the characters you have to do it up against are like power creeped.
Yeah.
So whenever, especially if you watch early Ultimate, whenever you see a performance from someone playing a character like Paulo, especially like Rufflo recently, it's gonna look amazing because it's like one, it's a bit nostalgic, but two, it's like, wow, against these characters and these options, this clean gameplay.
You're
like
playing with fire truly compared to like, I don't know, you're not fighting Wolf where it's like you get two-pieced for it or something.
You're not gonna get down throw dash attacks for it. Like, no, it's gonna hurt gonna way die. More.
So like threading the needle is like it has to be a perfected craft right now specifically. So sometimes a risk reward gets to the point where you probably have to choose like not fighting the situation at all. And it's just more beneficial. And that's like, I think what I was trying to get at in a previous episode. Cause I think the Zerosuit Wolf thing kind of like, you know, they've always been categorized pretty closely, I'd imagine. Wolf was probably considered a much better pick at one point, but you know what I mean?
I think your idea of, or I'm assuming this is what you're thinking about, but like in these scramble scenarios where your opponent has so much more reward than you do in those scenarios, just disengaging and reacting to like, oh, are you a panic scrambler? Like, do you panic and scramble and like throw out your high, you throw out your high reward option. And when you disengage against someone and you punish that like two or three times, like, it's kind of a message where it's like, hey, I'm slowing this down and we're going to play neutral at a farther range instead of just going into each other's areas and just like mashing the scramble button and being who wins the RPS right here, right now.
And I think the nail in the coffin for it is like, if you're a zero suit neutraler gets parried and you die for it, you have to realize that Nair was only going to get me a second aerial.
Right.
Like, yeah. Like, you probably just shouldn't have done it. You should have just retreated.
It makes you think of the work you have to do to make up that ground now that you lost from getting parried.
Yeah, it makes you realize putting the controller down for a brief moment would have been better. Because, like, the answer was parry into death. Like, technically doing nothing would have had more value, considering the move you went for, especially, had very little reward. Especially because we didn't even talk about Kazuya's weight in this specific scenario. So it's like, you know. Like, same with that Wolf Forward Air. Like, are you really going to go in there with that Wolf Forward Air versus Kazuya? Are you sure?
Like, right. You could step back and charge Aura Sphere.
True. There you go. See? You're Lucario stronger.
I'm figuring. Use our air mobility and our beer versus, Chad.
Yeah, of course. What was last thing?
Dude, mad random though. I've been playing a decent amount of Smash on the weekends with some of my friends the last couple weeks, and I've been having. It's hard for me to find another character to play because I play Smash Stick Fox, but if I play any other character, I'm not gonna do that. I play Tilt-Stick. But I played Donkey Kong. I have not played Donkey Kong, and in Smash 4, everyone told me to play Donkey Kong because that's the closest thing I was gonna get to Brawl DDD, and I just didn't do it.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, and I didn't do it for Ultimate. I just didn't do it, and then for. I don't know, like the last couple of weeks I've been playing around and he's a very fun character. I just stay grounded. I be pointing the C-stick at the bad guy, getting some grabs.
Down B, bro? You be down being?
I need, yeah, a little bit. I'm not too often, but I need to do it more. But it
need more down
B. Very, it's a very fun character.
Nice. Whoa, dude, we got to play my Lucario very against your DK. Character.
It's a hard matchup for you, Haz.
Nah. Why does he die? Over? What's the grab window? Is it huge? Is he floaty?
Shit. I don't remember, but it's early and it's decent, I think.
I also know it's not winning with DK anymore, right?
That one a little out of date. don't go by those percentages. Actually do when we play. I actually just saw
there was a website. Fuck.
I saw a clip of a Lucario player hitting second hit of Nair into back air on DK, and it was true. And I was like, ooh, hold on a second. It killed.
That reminds me of Wario doing landing neutral air reverse back, like, real quick.
Dude, again, you could just tell he's a Brawl character because he's fucking weird. And like, there's just something about him that's so strange. And I'll tell you, bro, like, no one likes losing stocks. When you lose a stock with Lucario and, like, it's not – you weren't ready to give it up – fuck, like that does not feel good at all. Like
that's what the Lucario player is trying to do all the time.
I know, dude. I have to learn how to live so hard. Like with this character, it's like, it's tough. Everyone wants to kill you so bad. I can't wait.
I wish the neutral B hitbox was better.
Like, I know.
It's still usable in Ultimate, but it's way harder to get off. In Smash 4, it was so free. Maybe not as good as Smash 4, but more of an in-between. I feel like it's pretty hard to get neutral.
Well, for me, I'm like, why would I do that versus just like mixing with an aerial or landing a grab? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, what does that hitbox give me that? And maybe it does, and I'm just ignorant. But also, that's like, I'm so like chapter one right now that I don't even, I've been mixing that in every once in a while just to see how it feels, and it doesn't feel great. So I'm like, that is above my pay grade right now. Like, I just need to learn how to like, hit my down tilts into whatever aerial or like what I do out of grab with this much aura, like just very, very, very basic stuff. But I am Lucario's obviously
window, what's 63 that? To 78. It's good. It's good.
It's that's a lot.
It's and early
it, and it kills good. Him.
Jeez, yeah. 63. Sheesh.
I don't know.
60, bro, that's when the character starts to feel alive. You know, like around 50, I'm like, all right, I'm a character now. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So you leveled up. He's so pathetic.
You better not trip when he down tilts. I'll say that.
He's what?
You better not trip when he down tilts.
Yikes.
When I'm playing Fox against Lucario, I usually just run at Lucario in the beginning because I'm like, well, what if you do hit me? I don't care. But if I hit you?
Bro, I will say there's something so nice. Like when I get hit with Ken in Belma, I'm like, this sucks. But when I get hit with Lucario, I'm like, hey, that was kind of a nice combo. Nice job, man. Like, I don't feel that bad. I'm like, cool. Like, all good.
We're both winning here. Both winning.
Nice. Thank
you. I'm not looking forward to playing against a Lucario player that's like complimenting you while they're getting their raid.
Oh, yeah, I will for sure.
Imagine how scary that is.
Bro, I don't care.
You're at like 150 and you didn't finish them off. They're like, oh, nice.
Oh, thanks, man. It's just scary. Start forward smashing at the ledge and you die at 30. Bro, and I'm like a stupid Lucario now too. Like I just be spamming moves but if that forward smash hits, you're dead at 20. Like that's pretty cool. Dude, his F tilt, I'm telling you, like just two framing people with that is so crazy. It's so good.
And like
his dash attack,
the actionable frames on it is very nice. You can just spam.
Yeah, it's been, you know, like you start playing a character and you find like your button. That's been my button with him 100%.
You can just press it.
It just feels good.
What's gonna happen?
Well, I'm still like Belmont coded. I like started just F tilting. I was like, oh wait, this is actually it's kind of working actually. Like, and the CPUs are stupid, so they're always put in a tech situation. So I'm like tech chasing them and stuff. Like,
double F tilt.
I'm like popping off alone, playing against computers with Lucario. Down bad chat. No, but it's fun. I'll have to take him on Elite pretty soon. Start terrorizing Elite, doing stuff.
Oh,
Jeff Smash.
Yes. Dude, okay, his up smash also is baffling because like I feel like this is not factual.
I'm not a fan.
Not really me either.
Very clunky.
Yeah, but it scoops a little bit, which is nice.
If they do a really bad move on shield, it'll get the job done.
But the other thing is like I feel like it scales the hardest, is just how I feel, because it sucks so bad like all the time, but when you're like maxed out, they just pop, like they just die. Like even F smash has like pretty good knockback as you're like, you know,
yeah, you expect to get the job done regardless.
Up smash, like what the fuck, and maybe I'm just using it wrong, but whatever.
His other smash attacks are perfectly good. I'm not a fan of up smash. I don't think it's
His down smash and forward smash are fucking cool. Like
the craziest Lucario stuff is when they do, they're like ledge trapping. Let's say you neutral get up and they aura sphere, jump aura sphere, double jump.
Ooh.
Like they just like chain the light knockback
into like bear. It's yeah. so sick.
Like
it's
that crazy. Shit.
Bear is so, dude.
Cause it's already kind of crazy that he can do it in general, but when they like do like aura sphere, double jump area, it's like, oh shit.
Yes. All right, I'm in there. Okay, great. This is what I would need to hear.
I think that character is very good. I've always said that. I don't think it's a cool concept. I'm not interested.
This is before he played my Lucario, just so
we're all clear. Like we'll see what I said. Like imagine if a world where I've already played his Lucario.
Then the dangerous man.
I think that character is crazy, bro. I think that character is crazy.
He's been getting results.
Good numbers, good mobility.
I wonder how he does against DLC and shit. Is he a character that does bad against sword characters? That's a question I had for you guys.
I wouldn't say typically that's like a label that would be applied to him.
Okay.
Because like, why would they be? Why would he struggle specifically with
sword? I don't know.
Like he's mobile. Like it's fine.
He is mobile.
Projectile. He's fine. If anything, they might be the perfect archetype to bullshit.
Oh yeah.
It's such a cool concept, the Neutral B just having a hitbox, kind of like a Corrin charge F smash, something similar to that, but it's on a special move.
Give it back.
No.
Dude,
he wouldn't even be able to confirm off it. It'd be like hard to confirm off it.
Leave him alone.
Down tilt, no.
Well, like if he's like facing away and he's like and he's getting the hitbox, like his back air is not gonna come out in time.
No way. Maybe Nair? You can Nair.
Nair.
I mean maybe
Nair face.
Nair. Drag down. Footstool, uh-oh. Disable,
up tilt.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it would be a little awkward compared to Lucario, I think.
Of course,
like, yeah, I mean, it just depends.
The goat.
I think Mewtwo would rather face forward with it because he has like confirms off the projectile itself, kind of like a Samus. Because he'd be doing like Shadow Ball into like forward air or like grab if it's weak. Like,
dude,
I love Mewtwo. I do like Mewtwo a lot.
I know you like.
I play Mewtwo for fun. A decent amount.
It made me kind of think of like Brujo when he's in like last hit scenarios. He just turns into Crown Bot like 100%. Like he's just like, I'm spamming Crown all the time. Hold on, let me fix my camera. But he's just like, last knock, last hit, side B, side B, side B, side B. It's like, damn.
I can hear the Crown noise like that K Rool makes over and over.
Yeah.
Just over, over, over.
Dude, I will say that too because my capture device, like the HDMI cord, broke or something, so I had to order a new one. So I'm just plugged straight into my monitor, and I have zero sound. Like I'm playing soundless right now.
I don't play with sound a lot,
dude. It makes me realize, like, obviously it's been said a million times, but the sound design in Smash is like, it's true. So good. Like it's so good, and especially because I'm trying to learn a new character.
Dude, you can hear a random sound from a random move on a random character without seeing it, and you'll know what game, what characters move. Like,
ooh, wait, we should do that. We should
talk about Pikachu's neutral air sound in Brawl.
Yep.
Like, bro, like you can just hear it.
Yeah. Yeah.
One move, one character, like.
It's incredible. Someone should come up with that where it plays a random sound effect from a Smash.
That move. Sounds incredible.
Dude, we'd be good at it.
On the show.
We would do it on the show. Chat? It can't be that hard. You just have to
that
get
sounds incredible. Like, you just different have to get the sound files. Too?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or you could, bro. It's kind of like the, what's the Pokemon Cry one? Like, you could do it by generation. Like, oh, I want to hear
well, melee you can ones. Get. You can get points based off of like if you got the game right, the character yeah, right. Like,
mm-hmm. Bro, yeah, you say like Fox and Brawl, but it was.
This
Fox
sounds
and,
like the
yeah,
best yeah. slop ever made.
This is fantastic. This is such a good idea.
Gavin's cooking up some slop.
This chat? Sounds like the best slop content. To where I'm down to participate.
No, 100%. Dude, we'd be good at it though. Is the thing all of us?
I'm pretty confident. I'm pretty confident.
Me too.
Yeah, I feel like I would get exposed. I don't know, man.
Really?
We're all gonna get something wrong for sure.
Well,
if it's best specifically like which dude, game?
Yeah,
like,
which that game? Stuff. That sounds tough. It sounds tough. If it, but like it sounds fun. Game. It sounds like
even if it's like an item or something, that might be weird.
No items. No items yet. Not yet.
No items, character moves only.
Yeah. Not yet. Not yet.
Yeah, that sounds
that's cool. That's later. You just start with Ultimate, then you do Melee, obviously, then you fill in the other games.
Like, bro, if it's like a Meta Knight move from Brawl, I got it.
Yeah, 2 seconds, we'll all
get
it.
We all got it, yeah.
Dude, you need the different sound variations, too, because Meta Knight's jab and Brawl in Japanese and in English are you know, obviously very different.
I would still get it.
His voices? Yeah, me too.
I would still get doesn't Damn. Matter what language.
Bonus point, guess the language.
The language is crazy, yeah. Dude,
I would really still fun. Get I would still get pit side B from Brawl, even if it was Jeb.
Yeah,
don't worry.
Me too. Yeah. Oh,
Gavin's calling me right now. Gavin's like, I know every single voice.
I would be good at this. I promise.
I would too. We should face off. I feel confident.
I'll be the host.
Imagine it's like, dude, you could even do like characters intros when they get into the game and like Ooh. The like. There's so many cool things you could do.
I thought of Zero Suits when you said that. The ship and her land. I love her intro is so good. I will say.
Yeah.
She like hovers in
final smashes from different games too.
Mm-hmm. No, those That'd would be easy, I think.
Yeah, probably. They're You'll pretty... know something crazy if it's a 30-second sound clip.
Yeah, right. Damn, dude. Yeah. Oh, man, that's fun.
That was a good episode. I'm gonna be thinking about this hypothetical for a while now. This sounds like the best like little game to play with.
Friends. Once that happens, bro, yeah, that'll be great. Someone will do it. I bet
episode 250 or 300.
We would really appreciate it if someone created that. And it could just be Ultimate to start. It doesn't have to
yeah.
be. What was I going to say? I also really appreciate how much people love your rants about stuff, Gavin. And obviously, we're there too, and that's cool. But someone's like, do the Angel platform next, which I was like, low-key, put that in the back
pocket. Oh, I could talk about that for hours.
Dude, I need to hear it. I'm so bad at it. I really am.
It's a very interesting, complicated thing.
It is. You think it's not, but there's so much to it.
You learn so much from both players.
Mm-hmm. I know, because you always hit me when I, when I'm, whatever, when you're intangible, you always hit me, and then I never hit you when you're, so there's definitely more layers to it than I think.
Yeah.
But it doesn't seem that hard, but it is.
And it's not like a strategy you use every time. It's so situationally, like, specific.
Mm-hmm.
It's
guaranteed
really
cool. to happen every game, though.
That's why you talk about, like, that's why you should have a lot mm-hmm. to say about it.
Yes.
Because it's every game, every stage, every matchup, everyone loses stocks, everyone's dealing with taking a stock and their opponents like it universal things like you should be able to talk about them for a large amount of time. There's a lot to say. It's every game.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm.
That's cool. I never thought about it that deep. I'm like, they're invincible. That scares me. Or I'm invincible. They need to be afraid roll. Of me. I'm like, that's it. Yeah. Roll. Yeah. Yeah. Right, but what does that really mean? You're right, though. Usually, obviously, it's player by player, of course, but there's so much to it that I could preload more knowledge, I feel like.
It happens to me all the time, too. Even if I'm like the type that's thinking about it, it's like, if I'll do a bad roll, and they'll hit me, and I'll be like, damn.
Yep.
Like, it happens to everyone.
It's the same rules.
Both sides. That, too, like, a lot of people aren't even good at being invincible, as weird as that sounds.
Like, is it okay to dash grab and dash attack when you're invincible, Gavin, or is it still
I don't
not
think
okay?
So.
Dang, not even when you're intangible.
What about Lucario?
Well, because that's your great dash that's your one thing great. When you're invincible. You're gonna run out as you're doing it. You know what I mean? Like that's your Like, you, I feel like you got to make more of the invincibility. Like, you got to get more out of it. Going for that, like, one forward smash, it's like, oh, this is my gimmick. I'm still invincible. Like, that's not a good strategy.
I hope you don't try to punish me.
Yeah, it's like, okay, bro, I know you're invincible still. Like, Jesus Christ.
Hitting with the year one, dude.
It worked. Yo, in Smash 4, though, with Bayo, if you whiffed a smash attack and then witch timed after because they tried to hit you out of invincibility.
There's a little bit more layers.
Hold on.
I would still rather do something
else.
Like,
why? If you hit them with witch time, that's pretty good.
But a lot of people, they're bad at being invincible. They, like, they're going at it. They're trying to get their stuff while they're invincible. And as soon as they're not invincible, they're getting destroyed. Like, it's like, do you not even know? Like, you got to have a better window on, like, how much time you have to work with. Because I've gotten so many people with my, like, my good 0% starters because they're, like, stationary as the invincibility is running out because they're just, like, flailing. Mm. Like, I don't know. I'm not a fan of the, like, I'm invincible. I'm going to go for my one big swing and that's it. It's like. Like, maybe sometimes, but it's not, like, layer
mix,
one.
Yeah.
It's not option one. Like, no way.
Well.
Like, bro, if we played right now, Haz, and I would respawn with Diddy Kong, I'm like, forward smash. It's like, bro, you're not getting hit by that.
It'd be hilarious. I'm B-reversing up here anyway. I don't know what you're forward smashing.
Like, it's just, especially because you might be a setup character, right? Like, there's a question you always have to ask yourself if you're a setup character. If you're Lucario, do you get your aura sphere? Do you fight it out? Like, it's going to change every time.
That's what I ask you, too. Like, because it's interesting when you have resources or other things that you can do. Yeah, I usually, in examples like this, I usually think of, like, Mario or some vanilla character, like Lucina. Like, you know, like, some vanilla character. Obviously, extenuating circumstances. But it's like, how do you... But I guess there's so much to think about, like, how... Not only do you not get, like, not getting hit, but then it's like, if you're thinking, how do I not get hit? Your opponent's probably already thinking they don't want to get hit. And then they read your shitty roll or shitty double jump or whatever it is. And it's just, it reminds me a lot of, like, being at the ledge in a way where you know you are factually at just a disadvantage.
Yeah.
Obviously, you have way more options than you do if you're at the ledge. Like, if you're just chilling on stage and hanging out. But the fact that they're invincible, like, it just feels like, it just feels so bad. Like, I feel horrible when I'm dealing with that, especially against players who are better than me. Like, I just feel like I feel so exposed. So maybe we can spend a whole episode talking about that. Maybe
you can't mash your way out of it.
I can't mash my way out of it. That's a great point, Charles. I'm not ripping up the inset. Yeah, it does. Well, now I got Lucario, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, we can definitely talk about it.
That's a good one. Yeah,
I was about to, like, go crazy, but no.
If you have more chat, let us know because we're always looking for suggestions and things to talk about.
Universal stuff is my favorite because, like, it applies to everyone. Every time.
Yep. And we got Let's Make Moves Miami this weekend, I think. That's going to be an enormous tournament.
Most likely be streaming that.
Nice. W.
Good tournament.
Cool. Good tournament. Shout-outs to our boy EE. He's been streaming these tournaments. He had the VODs for Mash Harder, which I was able to watch, and I always love his commentary. So please support Phil EE, that's our guy, of course. Love him. He's been crushing it on the grind. He streams like every tournament, man.
It's crazy.
I really respect his consistency.
He definitely worked hard.
He does, yeah, definitely. You know, you give him a lot of shit because we're buddies, but I do respect
his marathon recently and all that too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The second you were like, where's the VOD for this? I was like, oh, I just looked at EE's stream.
Yeah.
That's where I got it from. Like, I didn't know the mash order. Yeah. So good stuff, man.
But yeah, I do want to shout out monkey.gg, the resource that is usually used for Donkey Kong because you can type the stage, the character, and there's like extra details in between. So shouts to that resource because I use it all the time and I'm like 99% sure it's not like free to run or anything. Like, so it's like, it's a really cool resource. I always really love Donkey Kong players because they're scientists like this. Like,
yeah,
they will make sure they know everything about getting the grab.
It's an interesting dynamic because when you think of DK, you think they're going to be mashers or they're going to be, you know what I mean?
But
it's
the thought process.
To really,
as a DK player myself,
to really succeed, you got to know your shit. Like, you can't just mash back air and grab and do all this stuff. Like, you need to actually study and focus.
It's this weird mix of being like this, like, sword heavy. Like, it's like you have to be the smartest idiot ever, I feel.
Bro. Noodle hit the Exodia combo. Did you see that? I thought that was so funny. He hit all five aerials.
Five aerials. Okay.
Exodia combo.
Exodia.
Yeah, very funny. Exodia combo in Smash.
You pot agreed into Exodia? No way.
I thought I sent you that, but I don't remember.
You didn't get drolled?
Last Last question. Leave your answers here, chat. What color Lucario do I play? And then we'll go from there.
Great Gavin, question. He take has us out. Solid costumes.
Yeah. A lot of them are so
simple.
Similar.
They're simple.
They did a good job in Ultimate making them look different. You know, they in Brawl, it's like, these are all the same fucking color. Like, but yeah, they did a good job. So that's what I'll leave it with. Gavin, take us out.
Thank you so much for supporting the show. I'm already screwing this up, bro.
We do bonus content
every week. I'm really proud of the one I did recently. Some of y'all liked it as well. I talked about some of the things we talked about today, like respawn type things, like universal stuff. I talked about the flow of the ledge because it comes up a lot in my Metafy lessons, which I also do as well. Metafy.gg/@tweak. So I was just like, I talk about this every time I do a lesson. Let me also have something out there for the supporters on YouTube members, patrons and whatnot. And instead of like recording my face and talking, I just put the game on the screen and just started moving around and explaining things. And I had a good time. But yeah, thank you so much and have a good one.